Welcome to NBA Talk with Isaac Wolf. I'm your host, Isaac Wolf. Before we get to game four, we actually have some news coming from the Warriors organization, actually. Former Nets head coach and current Warriors assistant Kenny Atkinson has agreed to become the new head coach of the Charlotte Hornets. This is an interesting fit in a good way, I think. Atkinson was largely responsible for the turnaround of the Nets with their young roster from 2016 to 2020. First year as a head coach, the team went just 20-62. It was a bit of a rough start. Next year, not much better, 28-54. Then they jumped to 42-40 the next year. The year after that, his third year, thanks to the development of players like D'Angelo Russell, Caris LeVert, Jared Allen, and Spencer Dinwiddie. I mean, they had a really young roster. They had, you know, young talent, and he utilized it well. And that's the situation he's coming into in Charlotte. They have Miles Bridges, LaMelo Ball, PJ Washington, Terry Rozier, guys like that who have come up well short in the play-in back-to-back years. They need to take that next step. They have their veteran, Gordon Hayward. I think Kenny Atkinson can help them take that next step and elevate their play. I still think they need a center to be any kind of a realistic threat in the playoffs, but the young talent is there. There is a base for him to work off of. Yeah, right. It's time to talk about game four. The Warriors made a starting lineup change in this one. Otto Porter Jr. started the game instead of Kevon Looney, which really, it was not the best move in my opinion. It made it tough. It put Draymond Green on Jaylen Brown, which forced Otto Porter to guard Robert Williams, which is a very difficult matchup physically for him. Williams is just, you know, taller, stronger, more athletic. And then Looney ended up coming in 5 minutes into the game because the Porter matchup just didn't work defensively. It took the Warriors a bit to get going. I thought, honestly, at the beginning of this game, I thought the Celtics might take control early again. But Curry and Wiggins got rolling. They had 20 of the team's 27 first quarter points. It was a close game after one, 28-27, Celtics lead. Then the Celtics, in the second quarter, towards the end of the second quarter, had a 10-0 run that put them up 7. The Warriors are still in it at halftime, down by 5, 54-49. In the second half, the Warriors tied it up less than a minute in quick back-to-back buckets to tie the game at 54. That was a preview of what we would see time and time again from Golden State in the second half. Anytime Boston got momentum, took a lead, the Warriors found a way to get it back. Mostly because of Steph Curry. He hit 4 threes in the third quarter. He always had a response ready. Klay shot better in the second half than the first half. In the fourth quarter, the game stayed tight until the last 5 minutes, 15 seconds about. And this is actually, when watching the game, I thought momentum was going to swing the other way in Boston's favor because Marcus Smart hit a 3 on a pretty frantic possession. It beat the shot clock buzzer barely after an offensive rebound. And that put the Celtics up by 2 possessions, 94-90. And to me, that felt like a point in the game. And I've seen this before in other games. It just felt like a point in the game where if the Celtics could get a stop and a score on the other end, the game would be over because then it would be a minimum 6-point difference and then possibly 7. But the Warriors responded. Actually, Poole missed a layup, but Wiggins got the putback to make it a 2-point game. Then Jaylen Brown missed on the other end. Klay hits a 3 in response. Jaylen Brown misses again, and then Curry lays it up on the other end. In a matter of a minute and 6 seconds, the Warriors had gone 7-0. Forced the Celtics timeout, led 97-94. Then the teams went scoreless for a while coming out of the timeout until Curry hit another 3, his 7th of the game. It's a 10-0 run now. Al Horford finally responds for the Celtics with a 3 from the corner. But then the biggest play of the game, in my opinion, was this. The Warriors had a 3-point lead. Klay Thompson misses a 3. Draymond Green, as bad as he played in this game, he played better than he did in game 3, but it still was not good. He came up with the biggest rebound of the night. Got an offensive rebound, saved the possession, and reset the shot clock to 14 for Golden State. Curry and Green run the pick and roll. The Celtics defense finally chooses to blitz Curry, who floats a pass over the top to Green. And now he's left 2-on-1. It's him and Looney, Green and Looney, against Al Horford. Green forces Horford to step up. Green makes a great dump off pass to Looney. As soon as Al does that, Looney finishes. It's a 5-point game, 2 possessions. Celtics can't recover. They fail to score the rest of the way. Final score, 107-97. Warriors get the big time win in Boston to tie up the series. The Warriors had a 17-3 run over the last 5 minutes and 15 seconds of the game. That was after the smart three. And those 5 minutes just felt like a turning point in this entire series. Just when it looked like Boston was going to go up 3-1. This is just my opinion. The Warriors storm back and take the game on the road and head to San Francisco for basically what's now a best 2 out of 3 series now with 2 games at home. That is huge. I still think they can get it done in 6. I'm sticking by my prediction. Steph Curry, we got to talk about him because he was incredible. In this series, actually, let's go with the game 4 stats first. 43 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists in game 4. 14 of 26 from the field, 7 of 14 from 3, 50% from downtown. In this series, in the NBA Finals this year, he is put up 137 points in 148 minutes on a 50-49-86 shooting clip. He's shooting 50% from the field, 49% from 3, and 86% from the free throw line. And that is all very high volume, which is just incredibly efficient from him. He was spectacular in this game. The reason I didn't even bring up Steph's foot injury that he suffered in game 3 last episode was because I knew it wasn't going to be an issue. That's what all the reports were saying. That's what Steph himself was saying. So I wasn't really concerned. He looked good in warmups and even better in the game. I have no idea. I really have no idea how much pain he's in, how much pain he's playing through, or if there's any pain at all. But whatever the case, it doesn't matter because he was legendary in game 4. Bum, foot, ankle, whatever it was or not. He's got the Warriors going back to the Chase Center tied 2-2. Can he keep this up? Is this load too much for him? No, it's not too much for him, and yes, he can keep it up. Frankly, it appears that he doesn't need other guys to step up. He can do it himself. Does he need decent contributions from others? Of course. But when they need a bucket, they can go to him, and he will deliver. He's the Finals MVP so far. Not even a question. I don't think there's any way he could lose it at this point. Even if the Celtics win, Curry deserves it way more than anybody else on Boston's roster so far. As for the rest of the Warriors, Klay Thompson had a pretty average game, 18 points, 4 of 10 from 3. He hit shots when they needed him to in the second half, so that was good. Jordan Poole, 14 points in 20 minutes off the bench. Still took some dumb shots, but overall, I liked the way he played. I thought he made necessary shots in the first half to keep the Warriors from falling too far behind. 2 for 7 from 3, his efficiency could go up, but still a solid effort from him. Otto Porter, as we said earlier, started this game. And we talked about this. It didn't work. He didn't really have much of an impact. I think Golden State is much better off with Looney starting because he played really, really well. Kevon Looney was absolutely sensational in this game. The box score won't jump out at you. He had 6 points, 11 rebounds, but he made the biggest shot of the game with that layup that stretched the lead to 5. He's the physical presence the Warriors need down low. He's the only one they have because James Wiseman is injured. Oh my goodness, we forget that the Warriors are doing this all without James Wiseman. Like, if James Wiseman was in this series, it might have been over in 5. With the size that Wiseman brings, he's 7'1", I think. He's bigger than Robert Williams. And next year, the Warriors are just as big of a threat. Even though Curry, Green, and Thompson are going to get older, Wiseman's going to be there, and that is going to be a huge key addition for them to get him back from his, I think it's a torn meniscus that he's dealing with. But back to Looney, he's the only big physical presence that they have. Draymond's been ineffective this series. Wiggins isn't as strong as Looney. Bielitsa isn't athletic enough if we're going through their bigs, but none of them are really big. Looney's the tallest guy at 6'9 in the rotation. He is more important to this team than most people realize, Looney is. And he played just a great game. And the plus minus is really what tells the story because he was a game high plus 21. So basically that means when he was on the floor, the Warriors won by 21 points. That's basically what that stat is saying. He had the highest plus minus of anybody on the Warriors or the Celtics. That shows you the kind of impact Kevon Looney has in this series. Gary Payton II only played 10 minutes, and frankly, I thought he deserved 20 or 30. He was amazing in those 10 minutes. Just 5 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block, but he had at least one of everything. He was all over the place, and he was put on Jason Tatum for a few possessions. That was the matchup they put him on defensively, and it worked. Despite the height disadvantage, Payton is what, 6'3", 6'4", Tatum 6'9". I actually really liked that matchup. His defense was certainly deserving of more minutes. I wonder if we'll get to see more of him later in the series, because he can guard anyone on the Celtics except for probably Al Horford and Robert Williams. He's that great of a defender. He takes after his dad. I really liked the lineup. I think my favorite Warriors lineup in that game, because there were multiple that had extended runs, it was the one that had Payton, Steph, Clay, Wiggins, and Looney. No Draymond in that lineup. I think that's a lineup worth looking at for future reference, because it did very, very good things, especially defensively. Nemanja Bjelica, he was terrible offensively. In the 9 minutes he played, he didn't score. Now, some of his on-ball defense, if you actually go back and watch the tape, it was surprisingly decent. Like, this guy put the clamps on Tatum a couple times, but other than that, he did not do a very good job on the floor. I don't really know if those 5-6 defensive clips that I saw were a fluke, or if he's actually that decent of a defender, but overall, I thought he was a negative for them. Andrew Wiggins. Oh my goodness, this was the game I wanted to see from him. I loved the way he played in this game. 17 points and 16 rebounds. 16 rebounds, a career high for him by far. His previous career high was 11. The shooting efficiency was a little down, but it didn't matter. His effort on both ends was incredible. His plus minus was plus 20, so he was right behind Looney in his impact on this game. When guarding Jason Tatum, he held him to 3 for 10 shooting and forced 2 turnovers. He was hustling, getting back on defense, getting back into plays he was out of offensively. He took good shots. He just missed some of them. Got offensive rebounds, putbacks. He was so good in crucial moments. And I loved what I saw from Andrew Wiggins in this game. Draymond Green. Once again, a subpar performance from him. However, that was really just offensively. Overall, he had 9 rebounds, 8 assists, 4 steals. So I wasn't totally off with the near triple-double prediction. He just scored 2 points. That was it. He was like 1 of 7 from the field, something like that. I mean, just offensively, he was not effective. Defensively, he kind of was. There were some plays here and there, tipped balls, deflections, obviously the 4 steals, but he was not good. He was better than game 3, but he was still not good. He did not respond like I expected him to. In fact, he got benched in a key moment of this series. With 7 minutes and 32 seconds left in the fourth quarter, Andrew Wiggins came in for Draymond Green. Green sat until about the 3.5 minute mark. And in those 4.5 minutes, the Warriors outscored Boston 11-4. Draymond sat for the majority of the run, and that was a huge decision by Steve Kerr. But it had to be made. That was definitely not an easy decision. That was probably the hardest decision Steve's ever had to make. But Green was not playing well. His plus minus in this game was dead in the middle at 0, while the rest of the starters were all positive besides Otto Porter, who only played like 16 minutes, so it's kind of hard to gauge that. They weren't winning with him in the lineup. And Green, as he said on his podcast after the game, was livid. He was really ticked off at the decision, but at the same time, he's a veteran. He understands what had to be done. He eventually got put back in. He got his chance and assisted on the biggest play of the game in there at the end with the dish to Looney, but that was a gutsy, but really a necessary call made by Steve Kerr. Best decision he's made all series. This was definitely his best coached game of the series. This is one of the first times he's outcoached Udoka. I guess you could say he outcoached Udoka in game 2, so it's basically even. But anyway, for the Celtics, I mean, they were ahead most of the game, but anytime they got momentum, the Warriors responded. Just kept chipping away, and eventually I think it just exhausted Boston. They fell apart at the end of the game. They put up 3 points in the last 5 minutes, 15 seconds. Jason Tatum, another inefficient night. 23 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists. The box score looks good, except for the shooting percentage. He's 8 for 23 from the field, 4 of 15 from inside the arc. He was 4 of 8 from downtown. That was pretty good. But 4 of 15 from inside the 3-point line. He's struggling on the big stage. He's putting up decent numbers, but his shooting percentages are not there. And with it being his first time on this final stage, I'm not totally surprised. We know what he's capable of. He's risen to the moment before. We've seen him put up 60 in a game. But right now, he has yet to do so in this series. Jaylen Brown has looked better than him so far, in my opinion. He only had 21 in this game, though. He was 9-19 from the field. But if the Celtics were to win this series, unless Tatum does something crazy in games 5 and 6, which I think he would have to if the Celtics wanted to win, Jaylen Brown's played better than him and is more deserving of the MVP than Tatum is. Marcus Smart, I mean, he deserves consideration too if the Celtics win this thing, because he was probably the best player on the floor for the Celtics this night in game 4. He had 18 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, and 4 steals. He has really stepped up this series. He made some big shots, shot the 3 ball well. He's shooting 38.5% from downtown through the first 4 games. Al Horford was ineffective. Derek White, decent impact off the bench, 16 points. And then I think he had like one of everything else. One rebound, one assist, one steal, one block. He was 3 of 5 from 3. Robert Williams made his presence felt, but it just wasn't enough to overcome the greatness of Steph Curry. The Celtics played a pretty good game up until the end where they faltered. So the series goes back to the Chase Center in San Francisco, tied 2-2. And I'm expecting, this is a bold prediction, but I'm expecting the Warriors to take the momentum they stole from Boston at the TD Garden and run with it. I'm expecting a double-digit Warriors win here in Game 5. But this is of course, a must-win on both sides. Boston's going to be ready. Because this is Game 5, it's tied 2-2. Whoever wins only has one more game to win and has a game at home to clinch it. If the Warriors win, even if they drop game 6, they still have game 7 to fall back on at home. Not that they're trying to lose game 6, but you know what I'm saying. And then the Celtics, if they win game 5, they'll have game 6 at home, and that's a dangerous spot to be in for Golden State. This is, of course, the biggest game of the series besides game 7. I'm excited. I think the Warriors coming back home, they get a fresh breath of air with, you know, their fans. The Celtics won't necessarily be rattled with the Golden State fans, but it will be an adjustment for them. For some reason, it felt like the series was in Boston forever. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was just because we talked about them and their fans more, but it felt like we were in Boston for almost the entire series. I don't know what it is. But I got the Warriors by double digits in Game 5. To wrap up today, this day in NBA history, in 2011, the Dallas Mavericks shocked the world by beating the Miami Heat in 6 games after going down 2-1. They won the next 3 games. Perhaps that's a preview of this series. Not that the Warriors weren't expected to win. I'm just talking about the 2-1 comeback to win 4-2. Even though the ESPN BPI Basketball Power Index was saying the Celtics had like an 86% chance to win the series, it was an unreal stat. It was either 86-14 or 84-16, one of those two, in Boston's favor. And I was like, are you serious? There is no way the Warriors are only given less than a 20% chance to win this series. That's unbelievable. But anyway, happy birthday to Thunder forward Darius Bazley and his teammate guard Theo Maledon, Jazz guard Trent Forrest, Heat two-way player Michael Mulder, and Bucks guard Drew Holiday. We will be back after what should be a thrilling Game 5 with another podcast.